From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
How are you doing, beautiful people? Yes, Monday. It is back to the grind, 1 p.m. on this beautiful Monday. Glad you all could join us here to start your week. And man, so much happened this weekend, folks. And in the NFL, yes, the teams have dwindled down to 4. And then there were 4, folks. We'll talk about how the Patriots, Broncos, 49ers, and Seahawks got the job done. And now I'll head to the conference playoffs. So much going on. Of course, later on in the show, we will talk about something that really, really has set the sports world on fire, and that being last night's 60 Minutes interview. Scott Pelley actually sat down with Tony Bosch. Now, Tony Bosch, for those of you who don't know, is the man who actually, you know, aided in A-Rod using steroids, or supposedly using steroids throughout his playing time. This comes on the brink of everyone of the MLB releasing that they have actually reduced Alex Rodriguez's suspension to just the entire season of next year. So we'll talk about that, because boy, oh boy, was it one compelling interview, folks. We will definitely be diving into that one. And I tell you what, Anthony Tony Bosch, he put everything out on the table. Everything was out on the table on this interview. It was a no holds bar interview. We definitely want to get your thoughts on that later on in the hour. And also, something that Michigan is talking about is the Michigan State women's basketball team, folks. They are now alone, the only unbeaten team in the Big Ten Conference at 3-0. They got a huge win over Michigan yesterday. We'll dive into that again. This team is really got the wheels turning, folks. And again, it was a 79-72 win over the Wolverines for the Spartans. Again, 3-0 in the Big Ten, only undefeated team in the conference. The Spartans have now won 22 of their last 24 games against the Wolverines. It's going to be the only meeting this season between the two schools. Junior Kiana Johnson, she had 14 points, 4 assists, 2 steals. Redshirt freshman Ariel Powers had 13 points and a team-high 7 rebounds. And Becca Mills had 12 points. The Spartans will remain on the road this week, traveling to Iowa on Thursday at 8 p.m. And to kick off the show, I have the privilege of welcoming, for the first time on Current Sports, head women's basketball coach at MSU, Susie Merchant. Susie, how you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
How are you? I'm well. Thank you for having me.
No problem, Susie. So just looking back at that game yesterday, I watched the whole thing. It was really a tight back and forth game. What were the keys for you all down the stretch to get that win over Michigan?
Well, I thought we had some nice defensive stops down the stretch there. I thought Kiana Johnson came to life at the defensive end, had a charge, a couple steals. And then, you know, when they fouled us, obviously we made our free throws as well. So we had some nice execution in the quarter court, and certainly the defensive side of the ball. I thought we did a nice job of securing some things when maybe they had a chance to kind of stay in it.
Right. You know, Susie, that's something I want to harp on right now, because it seemed as though it really was an X factor in that game. And it's something you alluded to at the very beginning of this season, going back to the Notre Dame game, even, you know, and I asked you, you know, how this team is trying to get back to the basics, how defense has certainly been a hallmark for the success of this team over the years, especially during your tenure, Susie. And we definitely saw that, especially it seemed as though in that second half for your basketball team yesterday.
Well, you know, we've been getting better defensively. I don't think it was our best defensive effort, you know, that we've played. I mean, the last 6 games we've been doing a much better job defending the dribble drive. And mm-hmm. I thought down the stretch they did a good job of, you know, getting past our guards, certainly. And, you know, we have to do a better job of that. But I was proud of our team's execution. I mean, like I said, I don't think it was our best game offensively and defensively, but we certainly were able to execute down the stretch, which is important.
Now, Susie, you guys have won now 22 of your last 24 games against the Wolverines. I got to ask you, when you talk about the rivalry between MSU and Michigan, you guys have certainly dominated in this whole rivalry. Is it safe to say, I mean, do you still, I'm pretty sure you're doing because it's still Michigan at the end of the day. I mean, but are you shocked at the success that you've had against this program?
Well, I mean, it's a heated rivalry, as you know. I mean, I grew up in the state, so I think you're either green or you're blue. There's no in between, and I'm certainly not blue. So, right. You know, for me, it's a personal thing. You know, I don't care what the records are, where we're playing, you know, who's done well, who hasn't, what players are on the floor. I mean, it's about winning that game. And I think both teams do a good job. I think, you know, normally on a night in, doesn't matter. There's a competitiveness that's going on out there. And Michigan has put a lot of money into their women's program in the last 10 years, and it's made a difference. You know, they've got resources, they got facilities, they are certainly doing things marketing-wise to get people in the stands, so it's making it a more attractive place for recruits to come and want to play. And, you know, you credit Michigan for doing that because, I mean, that's the way things have gone. It's a premier women's sport on campus, and it's kind of nice to see that our sport is garnering that from all levels and everybody in the Big Ten.
I mean, it's got to put a smile on your face, Susie, right? When you walk off that court at the Chrysler Center, knowing that you have topped Michigan once again, right? It's got to feel good.
Yeah, it never gets old.
I'm sure.
It never gets old. Yes, it never gets old. But I tell you, that's one game that, you know, you always mark your calendar. And, you know, this year it's an interesting situation where we only have the opportunity to play them one time. And
right.
It was at their place. So we wanted to make sure we secured that victory, and you know, maybe we'll see them in the postseason in the Big Ten tournament. But last year we played them three times, and this year obviously only one time at this point.
Right. Ladies and gents, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are talking with the head women's basketball coach over at Michigan State University, Susie Merchant. Now, Susie, knock on wood, but looking at yesterday's game, you know, we saw a lot of people out there, a lot of bodies, including Jasmine Hines out there. Madison Williams, is great to see her, knowing her story. But how healthy is this team right now?
Well, we're a lot healthier than we were come mid-December, early December. I mean, we really were, you know, down to the bones there. We lost Kiana for a handful of games with the heart infection. Jasmine Hines had a concussion for over 2 months. You know, Madison was not playing at that time. You know, Clarissa struggled with her shins, sort of like the Adrian Payne thing where, mm-hmm. you know, do you keep playing and then, you know, cross your fingers and hopes it doesn't flare up. But, you know, we did some things there that kind of allowed her. But I think we're not 100% healthy, but we certainly are much better, you know, than we were about a month ago.
Right. And, you know, Susie, it's, you know, something, you know, looking at last season, and you know, it's great to see now Madison Williams, you know, coming back from all those ACL injuries and, you know, looking at the injuries you had last year. When you look at the way you – does it change the scope of practice for you, Susie? When you start to see all those injuries pile up, is practice changed? Do you approach it differently? Does it become less physical in practice to make sure that, you know, these injuries are alleviated to a certain standpoint?
Well, the problem with some of these injuries were, you know, it really wasn't even practice, you mm-hmm. know. Maddie's a totally different story. I mean, we're just not practice. She doesn't practice, basically, you
right.
know, just given her situation just so she can play in games. But, you know, you can't really predict a heart infection. You know, that's kind of a bizarre thing. Jasmine's concussion happened before we even started practice. Clarissa's shins, you know, those were started bothering her back in September. And, you know, maybe we could have had her take a little bit more of a break in the conditioning side of things. But, you know, getting that kid not to to sit down, quite honestly, and not practice is a tough thing. I mean, she's a warrior and a competitor. So the last thing she wants to do is take a rep off.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Now, you know, looking at yesterday's game, Susie, and looking at this entire season, Ariel Powers, you know, a player who is just now really getting to starting to play because, of course, she was hammered with injuries last season as well. But to see her emergence, you know, really her first year playing with the team, I mean, that's got to be comforting for you. And can you talk about how she's really come along and become, you know, she's so versatile in so many ways for you guys?
Yeah, you know, she's a tough matchup. I think, you know, she does a lot of really nice things for us. Certainly you mentioned her rebounding. She has a knack for the ball, and she is unbelievably athletic, so she can just go get the ball. You know, it's really sometimes not even about a box out for her, but I shouldn't say that because I'm on her a lot to box out, but certainly that's something that she has a gift to do. And then she's a playmaker. She's a tough matchup as a big guard if we play her that way, and right now we're playing her as more of a face-up four, and she's an incredibly tough matchup for people off the bounce.
Susie, how pleased with you are the with the leadership of this team so far? Of course, with Pickrell and Bell now, you know, well, Bell, of course, was a captain last season, but, you know, Pickrell now, you know, them being the leaders of this team. I mean, how is that coming along at this point in the season?
You know, I think early on it was a little bit of a struggle, you know. It certainly was a work in progress, as they say, but I think, you know, you look at Annalise and Clarissa, and they've always kind of been work first kind of leaders, and that's not a bad thing, but learning to be able to engage your teammates and keep giving to your teammates vocally at the same time you're doing what you're supposed to do, that can be tough. I mean, that's not an easy thing for anybody to do, you know, and it's not natural. So They've really worked at it, and it's made a difference for us. I think there's no question Annalise and Clarissa have really invested in that side, and it's helped our team a lot.
Yes, without a doubt. Susie, as you guys have Iowa now coming up, I want to ask you, I mean, you guys are 3-0 in the Big Ten Conference right now. Comparing this team to other teams you've coached, what is the ceiling for this team? How good can this team be this season?
Well, you know, when we play together, I think that's the thing. You know, we've struggled. We have some talent, and that's good, but sometimes, you know, sharing the ball, I wouldn't say it was a selfish thing, but I just think people were, you know, used to really being aggressive. And, you know, we've got some kids that can play in a gray zone where they can just get their own shot whenever they want. And that's a nice thing as a coach to have. On the other side, it's not as easy to blend with kids that, you know, like screens and structure and that kind of thing. So It's been a work in progress. I thought the first half of Michigan, we went back to the days of old, and I thought the second half of Michigan, we kind of turned it up and became a little bit more of a gel team that we had been. So I think the sky's the limit for this team. We got to stay healthy. People, our vets got to continue to lead and play well, and certainly our freshmen have to continue to contribute. But, I mean, I know we're 3-0, but it's a very early in the season, and Iowa is a great team, and they have five kids in double figures, and they can really, really score the ball, and the things they do are tough to defend. So it's going to be a battle down there, no question, and I know they'll bring their A game. They're always really good at home.
Yes, that's certainly true, Susie. Now, as far as the mental makeup of this team, is it going to be hard at all? I mean, you guys are 3-0. That's certainly something you guys can hold your head high with pride about. Is it hard at all keeping their heads out the clouds, though, and realizing that, hey, it's still early?
No, I think they understand that. You know, I think the nice thing, though, is that, I mean, we've played three games, and two of the three have been on the road, you know. So That's a nice thing to know in three games with most of them on the road. And then the home game was one of the highest-ranked teams in the league. So we've had a tough go of it early, but it's still going to continue to get tough with Iowa on the road, who's been in the top 25 and very talented team. So I think the vets get this, the freshmen. I mean, two of the three freshmen were on our campus last year and watched it from the bench as they were both injured last year. So they have some wisdom. They're not wide-eyed freshmen that don't really have an understanding of how tough the Big Ten is.
Right, exactly. And folks, again, that's Thursday, January 16th, at Iowa, Michigan State and Iowa at 8 p.m. Hey, Susie, wish you all the luck in the world. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Hey, appreciate you guys having me.
No problem. That's Susie Merchant, head women's basketball coach for Michigan State University. Again, they just came off a win, 79-72 win over the Wolverines yesterday. It was a great game. Went down to the wire. MSU's defense really, really coming through in that one. Okay, all right, well, let's shift gears now. Let's get to our current sports quick hit headliners for this January 13th, 2014. All right, a lot of NFL action over this weekend. You know, one of those games happened to include the Denver Broncos and San Diego Chargers, in which the Broncos won 24-17 in the final game of the AFC Divisional Playoffs, eliminating the Chargers from postseason play and making Ken Whisenhunt eligible to be hired this week, possibly by the Detroit Lions. Now, Whisenhunt, the Chargers' offensive coordinator, interviewed with the Lions on Thursday and remains the front runner for a job that opened on December 30th when Jim Schwartz was fired. Now, along with Thursday's sit down with the Lions last week, he interviewed with the Tennessee Titans on Friday and Cleveland Browns on Saturday. But the Chargers had one of their worst offensive performances of the season, something that if Ken Whisenhunt is hired, we hopefully, as far as Lions fans are concerned, won't have to deal with, won't have to bring that mojo of bad luck with him. So there you have that. We'll see what the Lions do in the next coming days. All right. Again, MSU women, they topped the Wolverines 79-72. They topped the Wolverines yesterday in a great, great game. Kiana Johnson, 14 points. Ariel Powers, 13 points, 7 rebounds. Becca Mills had 12. Thursday, 8 p.m., they take on Iowa. The Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame have released the names that they will be inducting this summer that include former Okemos and MSU softball star Jessica Beach Bogracus, former Lansing Catholic and Lansing Community College softball standout Jody Every Parker, and Waverly graduate Lynn Capen, one of the most accomplished female open water K-workers in the U.S. Now, also being inducted will be Charlie Gorman Jr., a Resurrection High School football and baseball standout who went on to play baseball at MSU and coach at Grand Ledge. Pat Karslake, a three-time state champion wrestler at Okemos in the mid-1960s, who then wrestled at MSU. Former Eastern High and Ohio State swimmer Cameron Mull, and Duran two sports standout Jerry West, a member of MSU Mid's 1960s football teams. Now, teams to be inducted include the 1980 Eastern High School Boys Basketball State Championship team and the 1995 Lansing Catholic Central Girls Basketball State Championship team. The Richard Letts Community Service Award winners are Jack Roberts of the MHSAA and former MSU football player John Shinsky. So there you have that. We certainly will have Bob Every on, if not this week, next week, definitely to talk about those inductees and the process that goes behind making those selections. All right. Williamson teenager Hannah Miller finished ninth at the U.S. Figure Skating Championships in Boston. And while she didn't do as well as she hoped, the 17-year-old did learn a lot about the higher levels of figure skating. She went on to say, quote, "Just to not hold back at all, just to put it all out there, I wish I would have done that. I wish I could redo it, but there is always next year and the years after that." Now, 18-year-old Gracie Gold took the title. Paulina Edmonds, she finished second, and Mirai Nagasu took third. Now, a U.S. figure skating committee will choose three competitors to take to the Sochi Games, looking at the skating championships as well as events from the past year. Iowa tops OSU in the marquee matchup of the Big Ten basketball weekend. Iowa scored an upset with an 84-74 win at Ohio State. It's the Hawkeyes' biggest win of the season and cause for the rest of the conference to take notice that Iowa is for real. LaCritton Ross had 22 for Ohio State, but they didn't get the late push they needed, especially when Aaron Kraft fouled out after scoring just 6 points. He also had 6 turnovers in that one as well. All right, Wings and Ducks. Despite Peter Marzarik's 22 saves, the Detroit Red Wings were on the wrong side of a 1-0 decision loss to the Anaheim Ducks, who are rolling. The Ducks' lone goal came in the second period off an Andrew Colangino tip-in and a Jonas Hiller steered away all 22 Red Wing shots. The Ducks are the hottest team in hockey, winning 17 of 18 games while surging to the top seed in the Western Conference. Now, the Wings are back in action Thursday night in New York to face the Rangers. The Pistons announced today they are calling up Tony Mitchell and Peyton Siva from the Fort Wayne Ants. Siva has appeared in 13 games this season for the Pistons, and Tony Mitchell appeared in 10. So they are grabbing Tony Mitchell and Siva from the D-League. As far as the NFL playoff weekend is concerned, just a quick recap. In the NFC, the Seahawks defeated Drew Brees and the Saints this weekend, 23-15. On the other side, in the NFC, the 49ers knocked off the Panthers, 23-10, to face against the Seahawks in the NFC Championship. And in the AFC, again, Peyton Manning and the Broncos moved to the championship, defeating the Superchargers 24-17, while the Patriots defeated the Colts 43-22. And interesting news here concerning Peyton Manning. Bronco quarterback Peyton Manning could be retiring next season regardless of this year's Super Bowl result. Now, Manning has had a medical review in March, which is reportedly looking at his neck. In 2011, remember, he went through four neck surgeries. Now, on this postseason, Manning told reporters, quote, because certainly the light is at the end of the tunnel for me, no question. And so I think you enjoy these things maybe even more than you may have in the past. So he will be awaiting results this summer of the status of his neck injury and if doctors should recommend that he could go another season. Well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, you can call in at 517-355-9527 and share what's on your mind. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about a little bit of NFL. And also, again, later on in the hour, we're going to be talking about the sit-down between Scott Pelley and Tony Bosch, the man who actually is said to have prescribed Alex Rodriguez many steroids and illegal drugs to help him perform better on the field. It was an interesting, intriguing interview. We're going to talk about that and so much more. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports will be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Well, and then there were four, folks. Yes, the NFL the season is dwindling down, and now we are awaiting the conference matchups, folks. In the NFC, you have the 49ers. They will be taking on the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Both games are on Sunday, at 3 p.m. Before that game, the Patriots and Broncos will go at it to see who we will await in the Super Bowl, see which teams make it. Over the weekend, just a quick recap once again, San Diego, they fell to Denver 24-17. San Francisco, they topped the Carolina Panthers 23-10. The Colts, they fell really, really bad to the Patriots 43-22 in that one. And the Seattle Seahawks, they beat the New Orleans Saints 23-15. Alex Sharg and Matt Luckey now joins me to recap our winners and losers of this past NFL weekend. I tell you what, guys, it was for me, some of my biggest winners had to be, as far as Saturday is concerned, it was a great Saturday to be a running back in the NFL playoffs. Marshawn Lynch, he was unbelievable. He had a big game against the Saints, actually 140 yards. Two TDs. If you look at the Seahawks, I tell you what, it's going to be they're my Super Bowl pick right now. I love the Seattle Seahawks. They have a great defense, and Lynch looked great in that game. If you look at LeGarrette Blount, he had four TDs against the Colts in that game against the Patriots. The Patriots against the Colts, 43-22 in that one. A really, really surprise there. Andrew Luck, he's still got to get some more experience when it comes to the playoffs. But guys, it was a great weekend. If you look at in that San Diego Broncos game, I think that separated the men from the boys as far as quarterbacks are concerned. I think Peyton Manning, he looked great. And, you know, it took a lot of weight off on Peyton Manning when you have, they mixed it up. It wasn't all Peyton Manning in that game. They did a great job of mixing the pass with the run. Great game there. But, yeah, I mean, as far as my winners and losers go, I would have to go that route. Cam Newton, and if you look at Colin Kaepernick and Cam Newton, Kaepernick, in the very beginning of that game, if you remember, Carolina, it seemed as though Cam Newton was going to get it going and he was going to have a big game. But then it kind of just fizzled out for him as that game went on. He kind of went non-existent. You saw a lot of drop balls from the Carolina Panther receivers, and that 49er defense was outstanding in that game. And Colin Kaepernick, I mean, he gave that Carolina Panthers defense the blues. I mean, there were some moments where you thought Kaepernick was going to get sacked. He would get out of it, run for a first down. I'm really interested to see what ensues this weekend. But those are some of the things that stood out for me this past weekend. What about for you guys?
All right, so we're just doing winners first off?
Yeah, let's go winners first.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm going to go with the 49ers goal line defense because they kind of changed the game. They get the goal line stand on the one, and then they hold into a field goal on the other. Those two stops, I mean, if you don't get touchdowns in the playoffs, you're not going to last very long. And those were the key kind of sequences of the game for me, looking at that game. Because if Carolina does score two touchdowns on those possessions, it's a totally different game.
Right.
And, you know, Colin Kaepernick, obviously, the guy just makes plays.
He makes plays, man.
And the Niners are the hottest team in football. They've won, what, 8 in a row? They're rolling at the right time. You're doing what you got to do. LeGarrette Blount, again, 166 yards and 4 touchdowns.
It's pretty
good.
Game
got ugly late. It was close, but it got ugly late. More than that, Denver on third down. Because you say Peyton Manning played great, but at the same time, it still looked like they were going to blow it.
Yeah,
it did.
It
looked like they were going to blow it.
Rocky.
They had to come through on third downs. They went 9 of 13 on third downs, including a bunch of them late in the game to seal the deal. Those are my big winners of the weekend.
I like that. Alex?
Winners for me, and for me this is more of an underrated winner, is actually Tom Brady. Because for someone who actually had him on his fantasy team, this is a guy who's been inconsistent all season long. He'll throw for 160, 200 yards and throw 2 picks one game, and then the next game he'll throw 300, 200, 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. I mean, for the inconsistency that he has had, he's such a different quarterback in the playoffs. And for the matchup they had, not a lot of people thought that Marshawn Lynch would be such a huge asset to that team too. So for me, it's Tom Brady and his consistency in the playoffs. That's my big winner. Again, Blount with the 4 touchdowns.
He was great, man.
For a guy that had such a skewed image in his early career and now becoming such a staple with this team, he's definitely making a name for himself. So those are my 2 big winners on my end.
I like that. I like that a lot. And I tell you what, guys, when you look at the makeup of this NFL playoffs, it's so entertaining because I think right now this is where you separate the men from the boys, and you're starting to see players really emerge and perform on a big stage. And it separates, you know, if I look at a guy like Andrew Luck in that game, Andrew Luck, I mean, what do you have, 3 interceptions, I think? I think it was 4 interceptions. 4 interceptions that game. And you look at last week, he had 3 interceptions.
Yep.
It's just like, you know, Andrew, he had a great regular season. Don't get me wrong. But like I said, in the playoffs, it separates the men from the boys. It separates those who rise up to the moment of the big lights and those who kind of crumple and have to go back to the drawing board. And we're starting to see that. That's why I love the playoffs so much. For me, as far as my losers go, really quick, I kind of alluded to it. Cam Newton, because I thought Cam Newton. I came out here last week and said that Cam Newton. I think that's the only pick I got wrong out of the entire week. I think. Matt, can you double check that? I think as far as my picks went. Yeah, look it up for me. But I think that was the only game I called wrong. And I chose Carolina in that game because I thought Cam Newton was going to be vintage. I thought he was going to have a huge, huge game. Like I said, which early it looked like that. I mean, Cam Newton seemed to really settle in and get that first touchdown. I'm sitting there like, all right, he's really going to start to do his thing now. But as the game went on, it just got worse and worse. And hats off to the 49er defense. And like I said, you talked about it, man. That 49er defense, they made huge stops, you know, when Carolina was in the red zone threatening. Huge, huge stops, not allowing them to run through the holes, not allowing them to get anything on any screen routes or anything like that. They stood up and said, hey, you're not getting passes. You're going to get a field goal, if anything. And they held their own, you know, that game. So I really got a feel for Cam Newton, though, because I thought he had a great season. I didn't like to see him out like that. That's just my loser. I only have one there.
Okay. I got a bunch of losers.
You got a bunch of losers.
Maybe I'm just cynical or negative or whatever, pessimistic, but let's run these down. First off, Andrew Luck.
That's another one of my losers,
I think he's a great player. He's going to be a great player. You could tell he missed Reggie Wayne. When you can basically only throw to T.Y. Hilton, it's tough.
Hilton's a great wide receiver, though.
He is, and not that that's an excuse, because look who Tom Brady has to throw to. Nobody. I mean,
right.
You know,
exactly.
But 7 interceptions in the postseason, not going to get it done. I still think he's got a bright future. Next up, Drew Brees in the first half, 34 yards for the Saints. Poor Percy Harvin comes back, figures he's going to have a nice little impact on a few plays. Instead, he gets absolutely destroyed twice by the Saints, leaves the game with a concussion. Jimmy Graham had 1 catch for 8 yards after starting a little scuffle before the game.
Right.
Trent Richardson for the
Colts.
Oh,
yeah, Trent, for the Colts.
Downward spiral.
Yep.
They traded a first-round pick for him, and in the playoffs, he has 3 carries for 1 yard.
Bad.
You can't do that.
You can't do that.
You gave up way
playoffs.
Too much for him. And last but not least, Luke McCown. Holder for the Saints. Laces out.
The slip.
Laces out. It does not take Ray Finkel to know that you need to have the laces out on a field goal kick. Everybody knows that. Can't have the laces in.
Alex.
Man. And the funny thing about Luck is he's still very young. So although he didn't have Reggie Wayne.
Right. That's the thing with Luck. I mean, he's been terrible in the playoffs. He was terrible in his playoffs.
He did lead him to a huge comeback. Alternately terrible and brilliant.
If you look at last week when he had those three interceptions, he's still, and we talked about it here, he has a short memory, and he just goes out there and he plays the next down. And that's what he did last week, and it led to a W. This week, however, you can't do that against the New England Patriots. You cannot. New England Patriots, this is the staple hallmark of success in the NFL right now. You cannot do that against them. And, you know, you saw the result. You saw the result of that this weekend. So, Alex, what about you? Who's your loser?
Yeah,
man?
The Chargers, man. It looked like for a second that the Chargers defense was containing Peyton for a little bit, and then they just broke down. I mean, for me, the Chargers were such a hot team coming off the end of the year. Mm. And look at Colin Kaepernick, a hot team. We talked about it last week. Matt and I liked the fact that Kaepernick was hot. Chargers, another hot team, facing a great Peyton Manning offense.
Momentum is big in the playoffs.
Momentum's big, but I don't know what happened to that defense. They just couldn't get it done. So.
Yeah, definitely. I like those. Good picks for winners and losers. But, yeah, we'll see. Really quickly, guys, as we look at now the conference matchups for this upcoming weekend with the Patriots and Broncos, 49ers and Seahawks, who will we see in the Super Bowl? Want me to go first? Should I go first?
Yeah, you go first.
I think it's going to be Broncos and Seahawks in the Super Bowl. I can definitely see that. I think Peyton Manning and the Broncos, they're playing really, really well. Can the Patriots sustain their outstanding play? Because they looked really, really, really good this past weekend. I don't know. I just think that Peyton, man, he's going to go out with a bang this season. He's going to get to the Super Bowl. I don't think he's going to win the Super Bowl. I'm still sticking with the Seahawks. But I think you will see the Broncos and Seahawks both get W's, handle their business, and you will see them in February.
I could definitely see that. I do, I want to pick the Patriots over the Broncos because I think Tom Brady is a better playoff quarterback than Peyton Manning.
Oh, without a doubt. There's no question about that. Yeah.
Certainly back that up. But sooner or later, the injuries have to catch up with the Patriots. I mean, they're missing seven of their top 10 players, most of them on defense. I mean, you know, Vince Wilfork isn't there. Gerard Mayo isn't there. I mean, no Sean Moreno could be the star of the AFC Championship game for all we know, just because the Pats don't have anybody left. I mean, they're a MASH unit at this point.
And Moreno he had a pretty good game.
He did, and he's been solid this year. Yes. I just think I want to pick the Pats, but I kind of think they're going to run out of gas. So I think I got to agree with you in Broncos-Seahawks.
Broncos-Seahawks. Alex.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I'm going to go with Broncos-Seahawks as well. And it's funny. Colin Kaepernick said in his postgame, these are the teams that everybody thought would be there at the beginning of the year, Seahawks-Niners.
Right.
And with Kaepernick, I'm also even thinking that even the Niners might even beat the Seahawks. Now, granted, the Seahawks are an incredible team, but I don't think and we know what happened when the Seahawks and Niners faced earlier off in the year.
Oh, I had nightmares about that game because I started Colin Kaepernick and he was terrible. The Seahawks ran over.
And the Niners are looking for revenge because they almost had the Seahawks in that second game. Yeah. So part of me is thinking, all right, they've already played them twice, close in both games. Maybe this will be the game when it counts that Kaepernick pulls that all he does is win, let Tim Tebow all he does is win, and really, you know, really launch himself. So I'm leaning towards even picking the Niners, but I think we all are in agreement here that it's going to be that Seahawks-Broncos.
Like it's going to be interesting to see how Kaepernick deals with the Seahawks defense, because that's what gave him the blues in that first matchup earlier this season. I mean, and the Seahawks defense is so solid. I think the best in the league. But out of both of those games, I think that's going to be the better game. But they're both going to be good games, though.
You know, when you have Manning, Brady,
you can't go wrong. That was an outstanding game too earlier this season.
Tom
Brady getting the best of Peyton Manning in that game though. But it's going to be a really. I'm going to be glued to my TV on Sunday.
Very exciting.
I cannot wait. All right. Well, you know what? Let's take a quick break. When we come back, guys, we are going to talk a little MSU and Minnesota basketball. It was another overtime game at the Breslin Center, folks, on Saturday. Interesting game there. We're going to talk a little bit about that and also discuss the Alex Rodriguez case in the 60 Minutes interview last night. Tons to talk about. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports returns in just a minute. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Well, we have we're going to dive into now the MSU men's basketball team. Early at the top of the hour, we talked about the MSU women who are taking care of business, folks. They are 3-0 in the Big Ten Conference. Susie Merchant joined me at the top of the hour to talk about their success. And now we're going to dive into some MSU men's basketball. Of course, current sports, we were at Tom Izzo's Monday morning presser this morning as he addressed the status of his team as of right now. MSU, they're coming off a win over Minnesota this past Saturday, an 87-75 win. That was the final of that one. And it went to the brink, folks, went to an overtime, and MSU ended up pulling it off. But I tell you, folks, this team really, there are some question marks out there here and there. And, guys, really, I want to talk about really quick and something that Tom Izzo addressed. Brandon Dawson, of course, we talked about him many times on this show. Something's wrong with Brandon Dawson right now. And it's evident when you see him, you know, just playing in the game, he has really no emotion on his face. He looks a little down. We saw it in the locker room. And Brandon Dawson knows that something's wrong with him. We don't know if it's medical, if it's personal. Tom Izzo doesn't even know. He addressed that today. And it's so serious to the point now that Brandon, you know, he even said that he was willing to undergo a medical evaluation to see what's going on with him. Now, I know he said he was a little bit dizzy during that Minnesota game, but it's nothing really that stands out to see. Bottom line is we don't know what in the world is going on with Brandon Dawson. That's a big component, a big issue with this team right now. Brandon actually, he went to a doctor's appointment at 9 a.m. this morning, and they're awaiting the results and status of that. So that should come out later on in the day. Not even sure, but we'll see. Brandon, I really hope that, you know, even though Brandon, he doesn't have many offensive moves. But he does the little things that I think is going to really matter for this team to be successful down, you know, the garbage man, if you will, right, down the line. He's that guy to get those scrappy rebounds, to put in those putback points. He's going to be integral as the season goes, proceeds. And I really hope he does get better. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's so weird, though. They don't know what's wrong with him.
Don't know what's wrong with him. He's a little bit dizzy. For me, signs point that he caught Costello's mono. That's That's what I think it is. I mean, what else could it be?
I don't know. Because they said it's not personal. I would think it's something personal going on back home, which Izzo did say something was going on back home. But, you know, then he comes out on Saturday and says, I don't even know what's going on with him. You know what I mean? And comes out today and said the same thing. So we'll see as time goes on. But, guys, looking at the Minnesota game, though, Keith Appling has been the rock for this team. Ultimately, looking at that game, it came down to defense for me. I think MSU's defensive pressure really stepped it up, and they hit free throws down the stretch. I believe Keith Appling alone was 15 for 16 from the three-point line. That was huge, integral in winning that game. Gary Harris, of course, had an opportunity to seal the game in regulation. He misses not one but two free throws to send the thing in overtime. But I think MSU squeaking out, if you want to look at the positive side of this whole thing, these past two games with MSU going to overtime at Ohio State, or against Ohio State, excuse me, and now going to overtime against Minnesota, they're winning close games, which is something you have to be able to do as the season goes on, which is something that's great. But Keith Appling, he's been outstanding. I hope he continues his outstanding play, because he's really the hallmark of this squad, the rock for this squad right now, the guy you can depend on. Kenny Kaminsky, oh, my goodness, that guy can just shoot. He can shoot the blood out the ball. I believe he had, 5 of 7 from the three-point line that game. He was unbelievable. With Adrian Payne gone at that, Adrian Payne was not even 100% healthy. And right now, folks, he is listed as, Izzo called it, questionable or doubtful for this week's game against Northwestern. But overall, defensive pressure stepped up. Keith Appling, you know, he attacked the paint, got fouls. He hit free throws down the stretch to pull that one out. If there's any concern for me, the biggest concern has to be with how healthy will this team be as the season goes on. What did you guys see in that Minnesota game?
Well, you know, it's a roller coaster. It seems like every game they have spurts of incredible play, and then they follow it up with, you know, they just fall asleep at the wheel. I mean, they just don't have the consistent enough efforts to sustain a lead once they get it, or to stay in a game and not get down. They keep digging themselves these holes, and sooner or later, they're not going to have enough in the tank to overcome it. And they're going to drop a couple games here or there, whether that's, you know, maybe next weekend at Illinois or not, remains to be seen. But sooner or later, it's going to catch up with them. Really, though, and you hinted at it, Kenny Kaminsky, where would they be without him?
He's
5 of 7 for 3. The rest of the team was 2 of 14.
Yes, they were
Nobody
terrible.
Could hit except for Kenny Kaminsky. It's nice that finally, you know, after hearing about a guy who is a lights-out three-point shooter, that we actually see a guy who is a lights-out three-point shooter.
I think you're alluding to Birdman.
I'm not going to name any names. I'm just saying it seems like usually when we talk about a guy who's, you know, money leading up to the year, and then he goes out on the court and, you know,
can't
hit anything, but Kenny Kaminsky, he's the real deal.
I didn't think Kenny was going to miss on Saturday.
I didn't either. I mean, it was crazy. But on the other side of that, it seems like every game there's a three-minute stretch where the opponent cannot miss from three, no matter who's shooting it. I mean, Minnesota, for a stretch there, I think they were like 5 of 5 or 5 of 6.
They were shooting legitimately. I looked up at the scoreboard and looked at the stats. They were shooting over 50% at one point in that second half. And I'm sitting there like, I mean, what can you do?
Exactly. They're just hitting everything. And it's tough. And you know, luckily they couldn't sustain it. But, man, it's tough to watch this team and keep your emotions in check because they are so up and down. And, you know, a bright spot for me. Maybe gets overlooked. Denzel Valentine with 11 rebounds. He needs to assert himself on the glass, and I would love to see him go on the block and try and create from there. He's a big, bulky guy. You know, he's 6'5", and
he's got some size.
Yeah, he's definitely got some you know, some size and some thickness. And if he takes one of those smaller guards down on the block with his passing ability, he should be able to kind of facilitate the offense. He doesn't have to be the ball handler because that's where he gets himself into trouble, especially with Coach Izzo.
Right.
If he's on the block just making passes, maybe that frees things up. Maybe guys get better looks. Maybe they don't go 2 of 14 from 3.
Yeah, and that's something Tom Izzo alluded to today when he talked about Denzel Valentine was, you know, he thinks Denzel – this cracked me up during the presser, Alex, when he said, yeah, you know, I talked about when Denzel came here that he was going to be a poor man's Magic. And then we all start dying laughing. He used poor man's 3 times to put that in perspective. But, yeah, I mean, his court vision – it's through the roof. You know what I mean? But like Izzo said, he doesn't like his dribble drive. He doesn't like when his back is to the basket. When Denzel can just settle down and just look at the court, he can be a real weapon. And I hope he does. We've got to realize Denzel is still young. He's only a sophomore. I think he's going to really emerge into an outstanding player. It's still early for him. Alex, what did you see against Minnesota?
And Izzo said that he's probably one of the better passers on the team too. And for a guy like Valentine, who oftentimes comes down the court, sometimes is pretty prone to turnovers. Probably, you know, I think he's leading the team in turnovers, isn't he, so far?
I'm not sure. I wouldn't be surprised, though.
But, yeah, his potential's through the roof. Still very young. Very hopeful for the guy.
So. Yeah, definitely, definitely. All righty. Well, guys, you know what? Something that really has – this is a situation that – if I don't know if you guys saw it last night. The 60-minute minute special that they did last night with Anthony Bosch. Anthony Bosch is the man who is said to have prescribed Alex Rodriguez with all of these illegal drugs that you cannot use in the game of baseball. And Anthony Bosch put it all on the table, folks. All on the table. It was no holds bar. And you know what? And I want to play. Let's play some bites from that interview last night. And to start off the interview, Scott Pelley actually asked Tony Bosch which drugs are banned that Alex is...
Once Alex Rodriguez was fully into your protocol, what were the various banned substances that he was taking?
Testosterone. Insulin growth factor, one. Human growth hormone. And some different forms of peptides.
All of them banned?
All of them banned.
And he knew that?
Yes, he did. He
knew and that. You knew that?
And I knew that.
So, yes, that's Anthony Bosch sitting down with Scott Pelley of CBS. And this is a 60-minute special they did. It was a two-part series they did discussing Alex Rodriguez, who I believe his ban was reduced for next season. But, you know, this is the talk of the town right now. And like I said, Anthony, he did not leave it. He held anything back, and he put everything out on the table. He even talked about these gummies that Alex would take before a game to heighten his testosterone levels. Listen to this.
He would put one of these trochees in his mouth probably about 10, 15 minutes before game time or as soon as he went into the field. A player could take it right before game time. And by the time they get back into a locker room after the game and there was any possibility of testing, they would test negative. They would test clean.
So there you go. They had the system down pat, according to Bosch. And there was even an instance in the interview where Tony talks about how these gummies, guys, he would take them at a specific. Let's say there was a game at 1 o'clock. Alex would take the gummy at around 10:30-ish. It would heighten his testosterone levels. It would heighten his focus. It would heighten his awareness. It would heighten his power. He would go out there, play the game, and if you take it at 10:30, by the time that, you know, drug testing is supposedly supposed to happen at that time of day, it would be completely out of his system, and he would pass the test. So they knew all of the loopholes, according to Bosch. They knew all of the loopholes to try to get by a test, and they would even do blood testing. And it was one weird instance here where Alex Rodriguez is partying at, I believe, a club somewhere, and they had it so down, they were so paranoid about possibly getting caught that they even decided to do to draw blood at the club in the bathroom in front of tons of people. Listen to this.
So we ended up drawing the blood in the bathroom of this one restaurant / bar / club in the bathroom stall at 8 p.m.
With the crowd there.
With the crowd right
there.
People
coming in and out of the men's room, I take it, and you're in a stall with Alex Rodriguez drawing his blood.
Yes. As crazy as that sounds.
What were you thinking?
I'm not getting paid enough.
You think? Yeah, that'll be. Just imagine you had a club and just going to the bathroom. You see Alex Rodriguez and Bosch doing something in the stalls. I don't know what they're doing, but drawing blood, if you will. That's just crazy to me. And I want to just get general thoughts on this whole thing, because now there's two sides to every story. We haven't heard A-Rod's side of this whole thing. Of course, he's still denying that, you know, of any wrongdoing. But Anthony Bosch is coming out, and they have evidence. They have over 60 Minutes alone has tons of text messages. I believe over 50 or BlackBerry messages that Anthony Bosch and A-Rod sent to one another. And in the text messages, now, interesting part of this whole investigation is that inside those text messages, nothing specifically, as far as the drugs, the name of the drugs, those aren't in the text messages. Those aren't in the paper trail, this whole thing. What they used was code names for these specific drugs so that possibly if they do get caught, like right now, it wouldn't be totally out there and there wouldn't be hard evidence as to what these drugs were. This whole thing has really, with this interview, has really come to light and come to a point of revelation for many out there that it looks as though Alex Rodriguez was definitely into some heavy stuff here and was using. I think he was using. And it's really disturbing to a degree. And I say to a degree. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to put this out there. Because all in all, there was another point in that interview that Tony Bosch, I think, made an interesting point. And I talked to Alex about this before the show. And Scott Pelley asked Bosch about the integrity of the game, fair play and whatnot. If Aaron could you go to the fair play bite? It's really quick, real quick here.
Fair play? Fair play. If everybody's on it, wouldn't that be fair play?
If everybody's on it, wouldn't that be fair play? And I bring up this to elaborate on that point that Anthony Bosch is making there. There was a point in the interview, again, where he was asked about the issue of fair play. And to expand upon that, Anthony Bosch said, hey, if every time Alex Rodriguez goes to the plate and he looks at the pitcher, you know, across from the mound from him, who's throwing him the pitches, and he knows that that guy is juicing, and if he happens to crack one in left field and he knows that the guy out there in left field is possibly juiced, and he knows that the catcher in back of him is possibly juiced, and everyone around him is using this drug, wouldn't you use it? That's the point that Anthony Bosch is trying to make, which goes back to our previous discussion that we had here on Current Sports, which I think it's gotten so out of control, guys. When you talk about steroids and the use of PEDs, specifically in the game of baseball, it's gotten to a point where it's so frustrating for the casual fan out there, for me specifically, looking at the game of baseball, that I say, why not just legalize the thing and let's move on? Yes, I take a lot of flack for saying that because there are a lot of traditionalists who, you know, who look at baseball still as America's precious jewel, America's game. They don't want it tarnished in any way, and they feel as though it's ludicrous for me even to bring up the notion of steroids possibly being legalized in the game of baseball. But when I look at instances like this in the constant occurrence every single year, so many instances, so many stars in the game that are said to have used the drug. Why not? I don't know. I had to get it off my chest, though.
All right, and the stars that are mentioned that we think we know of, that's probably the tip of the iceberg.
Right.
In terms of who is all, you know, who all is using. And
exactly.
I think that is really the only important thing, because for me personally, I could care less about Alex Rodriguez. And people might want to say, well, now his legacy is tarnished. But wasn't it tarnished 6 months ago? Wasn't it tarnished like 2 years ago when he, you know, had the embarrassing interview on ESPN? It's just like the guy has worn out his welcome in American popular culture and sports culture.
I agree.
This was kind of the icing on the cake, sure. But Bosch didn't really say anything that people didn't already suspect. It kind of just verified their suspicions and played to it. Now, my big question is, how soon does this saga get made into a movie? Summer of 2016?
I could definitely see this being made into a movie very, very
absolutely.
Quickly.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that. Yeah. Come on. Call, I mean, where's Leo DiCaprio? Right. I mean, get him in this movie.
Because it has the makings of so, it's so much drama in this, because Alex Rodriguez, this guy who was once, look, I looked at him as, you know, he seems like a very, very good guy. He's a very, very good player. Then his reputation just slowly goes down the tube. Then we have this hard evidence with him and Anthony Bosch. I mean, it's just a roller coaster. It's a drama. It's a drama, man.
It is. And it'd be a pretty entertaining movie. But, I mean,
Or Sandlot's Benny the Jet playing A-Rod.
Oh, gosh.
That's what I'm saying. He's got the looks. He's as fast as A-Rod.
I can see that.
He's probably faster than A-Rod.
Might be faster, yeah.
Probably,
depending
on
how many of those gummies A-Rod has taken.
Exactly.
And the other question is, was A-Rod taking those gummies in the games where he sat out and was trying to pick up chicks from the dugout with baseballs?
I forgot all
you
about
know?
That
You know, it's
one.
Just like,
right.
He's had such a weird saga that I think everybody's ready to be done with it. The 162-game ban is fine. As far as what it means for the game...
Yeah, that was my next question.
It's bigger than A-Rod, because he's just going to be the poster boy for it, but it's going to go beyond him in terms of if we can, you know, dig deeper and find more names and see what's happening. And I feel like if they really get the information and find out that, let's say, 60% of players are using...
Which I would be surprised. I'm thinking maybe higher than that.
Yeah, and if that's the case, I think they have to have a long, hard talk about, do we legalize these? Because... there's no way they're going to stop them. I mean, you know, the science is always one step ahead of the testing. They're always going to find a way out of it.
All the time.
So it's like, you know, how much good does it do if you're trying to regulate everyone and you're not really regulating anybody if you could just open the floodgates and let it all happen? And I feel like people would definitely be more open if they knew they weren't going to get a 100-game ban after their second positive test or whatever it is. I just feel like if you open it up, people will be more honest. We won't have situations like this.
Yeah, because, I mean, like I said, in any...
It's ugly.
Yeah, in any like, and you talked about, you know, the testing that goes on in the MLB, or any sport for that matter. There's loopholes to any system. And for guys that are going to go out there and use illegal drugs, performance-enhancing drugs, they're going to find the loopholes within that in order to continue use or try to get away with it. Even if they are caught down the line, they still did it. You know what I mean? And they're in that interview again, Anthony Bosch talked about the loopholes they would go through. I mean, taking the gummy at a certain time so that it wouldn't show up in the test later on during the day. And he talked about another thing is when you're doing the urine test that went on to make sure that the urine that is collected is not at the beginning of the stream, but at the end of the stream, because it would have shown up at that. I mean, they're going to find out all the little quirks and loopholes. So, I mean, if guys are going to go out there and you're constantly going to see this in the game year after year after year, they do have to sit down and say, hey, what are we doing here? What's the next move we make? Alex?
Yeah, my final point, because I know we got some pick-ups to do. My final point is the Tony Bosch part of it, because this is a guy who said, well, if everybody's doing it, isn't that fair level to begin with? You brought it up. But what I want to focus more on Tony Bosch is this is just the poster child, as Matt said. A-Rod is just the poster child for it. What about communication with other players? What about with all the other players that were suspended? Did they do the same thing? How about these codenames? Was it more? That's a whole separate report that is just separate from the whole Bosch report that was already out there. So the whole Bosch side of it is, yes, it's a never-ending circle. If this guy's using it, this guy's using it, yes, then maybe we should talk about legalizing steroids. But Bosch is a criminal here. I mean, this is a guy supplying illegal substances to players. So I'm just very curious to see what will be the verdict with his end of it, how his role will be with MLB, whether who's going to play his role in the movie. I don't know. But I'm just excited to see what really happens with even all of these labs. There could be more out there. There could be other Tony Bosches in the world. Who knows?
Right. So, and as far as his perspective, I mean, we talk about the drugs. I mean, they're just illegal as far as the MLB is concerned. Am I right? Am I mistaken on that? Because I don't know if the, I mean, testosterone, I don't think is illegal. I mean, if the cops see you with a bottle of testosterone on the streets, they're not arresting you for that. You know what right. I mean? It's not like you're carrying, you know, an illegal, you know, hard drug here. But as far as the MLB is concerned, I mean, Anthony Bosch, I mean, he's basically coming clean because, I mean, what are you going to do to Anthony Bosch? He's not the one out there you can take money from. You're not paying the guy in the first place. He's not a part of the MLB. So, yeah, I can definitely – I see what you mean on that. So, all right, guys, 4 minutes. Pick'ems, what do we got, Matt?
Okay. I got a proposal for you guys.
Yes.
No one in the 5-6 months we've done this has correctly picked a score
that
when we do that.
That is very, very true.
So instead of picking the score – let's pick the spread. How much the team you think is going to win will win by. Okay? So
I like
let's try that.
So
I think
go more
opportunities for points.
Are we doing like a -6, a +6 kind of thing? Or is
it's
it
not, it's not like
by?
That. It's just, you know, I think, you know, for instance, MSU at Northwestern. Let's say I pick MSU. I'm going to say MSU wins by 5.
Right.
Or something like that. Whoever gets it, if you get it, you get bonus points because, man, we're struggling with the
We have not. Yeah, I don't think we've ever gotten
We've been very close,
We've been pretty
close
a few times.
No cigar. Okay, let's start it out. Tuesday, Wisconsin at Indiana.
Wait, what's the score update right now?
Score update is 5-5-4 with myself with the 4.
Gotcha, gotcha. Okay.
Oh, really?
All right, so Wisconsin and who?
Indiana.
Wisconsin, Indiana, men's basketball.
At Assembly Hall. Yes, sir.
Going with Indiana.
Okay.
By 4.
I'm going to go with Wisconsin at Assembly Hall. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with Wisconsin by 3.
Okay. I'm going to take Wisconsin as well. Give me the buzz cuts by 6.
Buzz cuts.
Okay. I think they're just better. Okay. Next up, MSU at Northwestern.
MSU by 10.
Okay. Izzo was very worried about this game today. Very worried.
I mean, as far as injuries
especially
are concerned,
upset.
Because
but the upset
will Adrian Payne play? Will Travis Trice be 100%? And hats off to Travis Trice. He was sick and played in that last game against Minnesota and played great, I thought.
But did you see the Illinois Northwestern upset coming down the
last?
I saw
Iowa and OSU, too.
Maybe one of the ugliest games.
It was ugly.
Yeah.
Oogly.
Wow.
Oogly.
I'll say
entertaining.
I'll say MSU by 8.
Okay. I'm going to take MSU by 7. But Northwestern sometimes gives them trouble. Those backdoor cuts.
Yeah, they do.
They hurt them. Okay, next up, Ohio State trying to get off this losing streak at Minnesota.
I think they do get off the losing streak. Ohio State by 4.
Take Ohio State by 5.
I'm going to take Minnesota by 2.
All right, you think they're going to lose 3 in a row. Okay.
Yeah, I do.
All right.
I don't think Aaron Kraft's going to foul out again.
No, I don't think so.
I'd love to see it, though.
Yeah.
Overdue Aaron Kraft fouling out. Oh, gosh.
Matt does not like Aaron Kraft.
I really don't. There's a pretty funny article where you just look at the new rules and the armbar stuff, and every picture Aaron Kraft is.
He's got the armbar.
He's got two hands on, guys.
Funny.
Next up, we just got weekend games, but quickly, we'll do one of the Pistons game. Let's go Jazz at the Pistons on Friday.
Pistons.
You liking them after the Sixers game?
I'm liking the Pistons.
It's the fan. I'm going to go with the Jazz.
Taking the Jazz?
Yeah.
I'm going to take the Pistons. The Jazz are not good.
No, the Jazz are among the worst teams in the NBA.
That's my rationale.
But the Pistons are not good either.
Yeah.
This is true.
They had a good weekend.
They did.
Had a weekend. Josh Smith.
They burned me.
Josh Smith, man.
That Phoenix game.
Oh, that Phoenix game. Yeah, exactly. So, all right. Well, man, 1 minute left. This time certainly flies, folks. Again, thanks so much to all of you for tuning in to today's Current Sports. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin on WKR East Lansing and WKR FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care, have one fantastic start to your work week, and as always, be easy, people. We'll be right back.